Looking for a taste of the islands? Look no further than NOH Foods. That's NOH Foods of Hawaii. NOH Foods was developed to reflect the many international cultures and races of the islands. Hawaiian, Japanese, Chinese, Korean, Portuguese, Filipino, and more. Known for the wide variety of delicious seasoning and sauces. The products of NOH Foods can make anyone a master chef in their own kitchen. Easy to prepare and delicious in flavor are the hallmarks of NOH Foods. Again, that's NOH of Hawaii. Dishes like Chinese beef broccoli, Korean barbecue, Filipino adobo, Hawaiian kalua pork, and many, many more. Don't forget about the refreshing and very popular Hawaiian iced tea, sweetened with raw cane sugar and just the right touch of lemon. You can find NOH Foods online at Amazon.com and NOHfoods.com. Also in many stores and supermarkets. As we say in the islands, say yes to no. Aloha.
Welcome back to the No Name Football Podcast. I'm Jason McKee and my co-host, Mr. Brother O, Mr. Everything, Mr. Hawaii, Mr. Football in Chicago, the Bears 100 all-time great, all-decades team center, Mr. Know Everything, man. That's my guy. My guy all the time, any day of the week, the ends and why. Brother O, how you doing, my man?
Hey, J-Mac, that is true, man. Like, I do think I know everything.
Nah, you know a lot. You know a lot. You know a lot, man.
I know just so much about things to really screw you up. No. Where people are like, hey, maybe this guy knows what he's talking about. And then, like, and then a year down the line, they're like, man, he knew just enough. Now I'm really screwed up.
Oh, man.
Hey, J-Mac, I'm going to start with the Loyola Ramblers season came to an end. Lockport, tough football team, man. Mm. Their fans traveled. I think they're from the Frankfort area down south.
Mm-hmm.
They came up. Put it to the Ramblers. Credit to their coaching staff. Enjoyed their fans, the atmosphere their fans brought. They walked on that field with a purpose. You could tell.
Yeah.
They were there to win that game. Mm. Loyola goes up 7 early. That didn't bend them at all. The quarterback, receiver number 4, quarterback, receiver number 1. Offensive line, they made a lot of plays. Mm. Defense played well, right? They just did a really, really nice job. Left that field really impressed by the Lockport football team. Interested to see what happens between them and Maine South in the 8A championship this week.
Yeah.
Two really good football teams. I got a chance to watch Maine South when Loyola played them for a couple of years there in the playoffs. Another well-run program. As far as the Ramblers, 18-1 the last 2 years, Coach Holosik's team. You get outplayed. They get outplayed. I'm sure Coach Holosik would say the same thing. I don't want to speak for him, obviously, but sometimes you just shake a guy's hand, right? They just outplayed you sometimes. Ramblers have injuries. But the Ramblers, when they win their titles, some of the other teams had injuries. That's part of football. That's the game, man.
That's the game.
So they end the year 18-1. Great run with them through the pandemic, right? Fun to watch. Obviously, the Crouch family's heartfelt thank you to the Rambler Pro Football Program. Mm-hmm. I only have daughters left, so it'll be our last one. That was our last game at the field. Mm. We enjoyed the hell out of it. We enjoyed the hell out of being part of that program. I like to tell people now I wear a Rambler shirt wherever I go, right? So I played for, like, you know, played for the St. Louis Crusaders in Honolulu, Hawaii. One of the top programs in the nation.
Yeah.
Really, really tough football team. Cal Lee, Ron Lee, the two Lee brothers, run that day. They, like you said, always a tough football team.
Yes.
I know what a good, tough, well-run high school program looks like. I have a chance to see it while I played. Coach Holosik runs one of those, man. Mm. So those kids there, obviously always in good hands. But as far as just the football game, our season came to an end, which sucks. But we'll be out in Illinois this week watching Illinois Northwestern.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Another part of the Rambler family, Coach Fitzgerald, will be on the other sideline.
Mm.
I'll be enjoy watching him play, but I won't wish him any luck during the game. We're hoping to beat him this week. I think they call it the Lana Lincoln Trophy. You know, Northwestern versus Illinois. Coach Bielma, hopefully he'll be back on the sideline. He has some COVID, but we'll get a chance to go out there because of the Ramblers season comes to an end.
No, that's a good deal, man. It's good to one season in, one still going on. Obviously, get another game to see your oldest son up there, and it's just good opportunities, man. I mean, we look at. I'll talk about James in particular, the way he played, man. He played really well. Co-defensive player of the year. I look forward to seeing him play more football in his future. You guys done a tremendous job. And like you said, it's a well-run program.
Felt like he was overrated a little bit.
Not even. The way he was knocking out pulling guards. I wish I could have stolen, man.
As you know in football, sometimes you're the hammer. Sometimes you're knocking guys out, and sometimes you're getting knocked out. Yeah. But that's the great thing about football. You got to get back up.
You got to get back up, man. Yep. And like you said, Loyola, 18-1. I mean, tremendous program, well-run program. They do a great job there. And, you did all the advocating for Loyola, so I'm just going to throw Carmel on there and make sure.
Well-run program.
Just in case we got some guys listening to this program, come on over to Monday Line. Yep. If you ain't going to Loyola, come on over our way. And, we're on our way like they are, because they're definitely one of the model programs in Illinois that, I definitely look at a lot and hopefully, can build that up where I'm at right now.
Well, as you know, J-Mac, I'm a huge fan of what you guys are doing with that program at Carmel Catholic. I got a chance, like you guys invited me out there,
yes, sir.
Coach some football. Yes, I cannot recommend highly anymore for kids. They're looking for a program to go play for a coach like you. They'd be lucky to do that. That's obvious. I can't say any more. You, Rasheed Davis, athletic director up there, all your coaching staff.
Oh, thanks, bro.
Well done job this year getting that program going in the right direction.
Definitely.
Let's go. Let's start with the Shet Show. There's a Shet Show up there at Hallis Hall.
Goodness gracious,
I think first.
Like, where do you start? It's so much shit.
It's running downhill. So, Allen Robinson's basketball podcast partner, Jordan Schultz, I think is his name, said that Coach Nagy, from what he's heard, and Allen Robinson said it wasn't him, overwhelming number of Bears players want Matt Nagy gone. And then came out another reporter, and I should have looked up his name, but I won't, that the Bears have told Coach Nagy that he is fired after this game, win or lose. So, anyway, J-Matt, what do you think about those two reports before we get into the Ravens game, before we get into the upcoming Lions game? The two reports about, first of all, Coach Nagy lost the locker room, and second of all, Coach Nagy is fired.
Let's start with the locker room first. A lot of sources, there's all these sources, right? Everybody has a source, right? Everybody thinks they have the inside track on something. The thing about it is when no player is ever going to come out and say that a coach has lost a locker room. No player will ever show that, because the players themselves are always under constant evaluation, regardless of who you are. You're in an evaluation right now, just like the coach. So some of those guys in that locker room, brother, if Nagy does get fired, well, then, hey, some of those guys' jobs is on the line, because you were under that coach. When a new head coach comes in, or that new GM, or whatever may happen, they're going to bring in their own guys. They're going to bring in guys that they feel fit their culture, guys that can fit their scheme. And you may not be one of those guys. You may not be a holdover. So you got to be careful with things like that. We've been a part of something like that. I think it was back in, what year was that? 03 when Coach Geron was getting fired. We were kind of in the midst of something like this. I don't think it was as extreme as it is now. We didn't have a lot of media outlets like that. It wasn't the Twitters and Instagrams back then, thank goodness. We definitely didn't need that with the crew that we had. But like you said, like all those sources, man, and I don't think, Tayshaun Gibson came out and said that, he's with Nagy. So it may be a divide in the locker room, but I don't think a player can't come out and actually say that. Mm-hmm. And in terms of Nagy being quote unquote fired, like they were saying after the Thanksgiving Day game, the Bears have never fired a coach during the season. We haven't seen that. It's always been after the season. So it remains to be seen. Personally, I think whether you win or lose this game, I don't see him being here at the end of the season. Personally, I think he can, with all the mistakes that we've seen week in and week out. A lot of the coaching decisions that he's made week in and week out that have come back to haunt the Bears and really cost us some games. Do I think he's a good coach? Yeah, but I think he's kind of slid. You know, he started out when he came in the organization strong, got coach of the year, and just kind of spiraled, a downward spiral ever since he set foot in Alice Hall. And, you know, the Bears, you know, especially tomorrow, you know, they have to find a way to win a game. And all this other stuff is all distractions. It's all distractions. So as a player, you can't listen to distractions. You got to go out there and do your job and try to get a win any way you can against a winless Detroit Lions team, because you don't want to be their first win. Oh, my goodness.
And they could lose this game. And we'll get into that a little more. But as far as the first report you're talking about, the players, Matt Nagy is lost. Most of the locker room wants this guy fired. I love your point of, most of this locker room should be worried about their own job.
Yeah.
Right?
Better.
Most of these guys should be just working on getting better.
Yeah.
Most of them, if I'm standing in that locker room as a player, I say, you're not good enough to worry about that kind of stuff.
Yes.
You're not good enough to worry about where the coach Nagy should be here, right? Very few guys, Khalil Mack, Robert Quinn, maybe a handful, Roquan Smith, Allen Robbins, Justin Fields, maybe just because of his status.
Yeah. And that's about it.
That's about
it. When you look at
I'm done, right? That's what I'm saying. So the rest of those guys, if they're in the steam room or hot tub or the weight room talking about the head coach's job, they need to worry about it. When guys, like, you know, J-Mac, guys come in here and train.
Yes.
And they start talking to me about scheme, and they start talking to me about the coaching staff or what's going on in the building. I tell them, I can turn your film on and find things that you need to work on.
Yes.
You don't need. So as far as players worried about, I want, like you said, man, if you want that coach who actually has you on the final 53 fired, you don't understand the business of the NFL.
Nope.
You don't understand where you are in the pecking order of the NFL. There's very few guys who translate to every coaching staff, no matter who comes in and comes out, right? So like you said, if there's a new coach, he wants his own guys.
He wants his own guys.
He's going to want his own guys to set his culture. He doesn't want a lot of old guys around who do things the old way.
Right.
They don't want all that stuff. So interesting to me when I hear that. Obviously, it comes from a guy who does a basketball podcast with Allen Robinson, right? And Allen Robinson said, I'm a big man and a grown man. And I'll take care of my own business, is what he said. So, strangely, it's your partner, though, Allen. So, you got to handle that. Right? Yeah. You got to handle your side of the problem.
Yes.
First of all, when he reported that, you should have called him already. He should have ended up on the score. There's a lot of other stuff that went on that it's almost ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
So, that's for a whole nother day. As far as Coach Nagy is fired. I'm going to read a few names here, J-Mac. And here's my problem. Here's the people we should be talking about. George H. McCaskey, chairman. Ted Phillips, president and CEO. Ryan Pace, general manager. Scott Hagel, SVP, marketing and communications. Karen Murphy, SVP, business strategy and chief financial act. Cliff Stein, SVP and general counsel. Lee Twarling, sales and see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
These are the people in charge, J-Mac.
I get you.
You see what you see where I'm going?
I see where
those
you're going,
are the
brother.
People that we need to hear from. When you get a report like that, I need to hear from you.
Yeah, you need to come out.
Yeah, and look, I am tired. I've been here long enough. I've been in the building. I was in the building since 1998. I've been here long enough. I know who the problem is. Okay? You guys are the problem. The names I just named. The question needs to be asked to these guys is, when the team wins and loses, do you think you're a part of that? Because the answer is yes. You are a part of the wins and the losses. You bring energy to the building. You provide leadership. You are the leaders of that building. Just like Coach Nagy, just like all the coaching staff, you guys represent what we are as Chicago Bears.
Yes.
You are just as important as anybody else in this building. And if you have won one playoff game in 10 to 15 years, you are the ones that have to answer for this. So if something leaks out of your building, like the head coach is fired, one of you stand the hell up.
Right.
And he tell us either whether it's true or whether it's not. And look, I know you don't answer every rumor. This is a pretty big damn rumor.
Right.
With a game coming up on Thursday.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the problem. Talk about Coach Nagy all you want. That building, Hallis Hall, lacks leadership. It lacks leadership, plain and simple.
Yeah.
It lacks leadership from the highest level. Yeah. Okay. So reached out to somebody on the Bears. All I got back was, it's rumor season. I don't know what the hell that means.
That's not good.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell that means.
That's no, the rumor season. That makes sense. Like you mentioned, right? All those guys. And we know all those people you mentioned for the most part. You are a part of the hires and fires, right?
Yeah, so here's my thing. I don't mean to cut you off, but here's my thing. If Coach Nagy's son at a baseball game, which pisses me off.
Oh man.
That pisses me off, right?
Oh my goodness.
Now listen, I've seen student sections. I've heard them all year.
Yeah.
This is what happens at high school football games. Still yet though, I want Coach Nagy's son just to play football.
Yes.
He's just a dad there. But I understand. You have to deal with that. I've heard student sections chant a lot worse things than that. But
right.
If Coach Nagy's son is fair game for criticism, the names I just read, they need to get mentioned on radio.
Definitely.
Everywhere. Newspaper, Twitter. They need to get mentioned a lot more often, because eventually when you lose this much, it's not the coaches anymore.
Yeah.
It's not the players. There's something wrong with your building that needs to get fixed. And until you look in the mirror and decide that that is the problem, No. Stop. I'm a fire to coach. Stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
Placing the blame on someone
Stop
else.
It. Stop it. Stop it. It's you.
Yeah. And it's been like that. Like we said, the hires and fires, right? Where is the evaluation amongst yourselves on the job you've done hiring these past head coaches? You know, you're in charge of that. You go through the evaluation process, the head coaching hiring process. You go through all the candidates, you evaluate all the candidates, and you, those guys you mentioned, determine who is the right fit for your team. So if you're wrong, not once. Well, actually, no, we can go three times. You go back to Lovie. Lovie, 10-win season, you fire a coach that just had 10 wins, all right? You bring in Trestman, what happens? It goes down. You bring in Nagy, right? His first year is good, but then it's gone down, right? And now there's no... The blame is not placed on you. It's put somewhere else. Oh, it's the coach. It's the GM. It's the coach. It's the GM. Like you said, you got to take ownership. You are the brass in the building.
You're the consistent.
But nobody's taking ownership. Like you said, when that rumor came out, brother, like you said, there should have been some type of press conference, either nip it in the bud or to say, hey, you know what? We've talked, we made a decision as ownership, and we feel like this is the best course of action for our organization right now. But that hasn't happened. They just let this rumor circle out there. You got a coach on the podium, you know, being left astray. He's sitting there, they're asking him about, oh, are you going to get fired? Are you not going to get fired?
Was Ryan Pace that busy?
Man,
was he that busy?
Where was he? It was Tabor and Nagy.
Can Ted and George and Ryan, can they come out there and sit down and say, look,
nowhere
Coach
to be
Nagy
found.
He's going to finish the season.
Nowhere to be right? found.
So, you guys lack leadership up there, which is no shock to us at all. It's no shock to me that something like that happened. I can't tell you how many times I heard, this is Bears. So Bears. Wait. Which is all fine if you're finding a way to win games and playoff games. But you're not. You have not for years, right? It's just time eventually to say, okay, what is the real problem here?
Yep.
Why is this coming out on Thanksgiving week? Ian Rappaport, I think he does a great job reporting for the NFL, but why does he get all the information first? And eventually, if you're in the NFL building, I need to find out if I'm the boss, right?
Yeah.
And the biggest problem with the Bears, right, is J-Mac. Their collaborative process, and that's not a problem, but there's no one person you can go to I can go to the office and say, is Coach Nagy fired? Oh, wait, I gotta.
Yeah, nobody.
Wait, I gotta talk to. Wait, let me get 55 people together first.
He said, she said, he said, he said. I mean, it's no, like you said, there's no, who is the leader?
Can I go to one person for one answer? No, right? So I don't know, to be honest with you, I don't know if when they heard Coach Nagy was fired, I don't know if some people knew if he was fired or not. Until they had to go talk to the other 10 people to know if he's fired. Because remember now, we were just told at the last press conference of the year that they all collaborate together, right? So who was a part of the collaboration process? Coach Nagy.
Yep.
Right? So now I guess he is sitting outside of the room when they collaborate. I guess. I don't know.
So they were collaborating while he was on, while he was doing his press conference.
I'm guessing. I'm guessing, right? So you get to this point of like me and you are talking about this for 20 minutes on our podcast, right? We're talking about Allen Robinson's basketball podcast partner.
Right.
And I understand that's a lot to handle, but if that's your job, that's your job, right? Yeah. Coach Tabor, like you said, comes out. I love Tabes, man. I mean,
solid, right?
Coach, hey, Coach Nagy is my,
That's my guy. That's your guy. That's who brought you in.
These players who, some of them, backups on the depth chart, want Coach Nagy fired.
Yeah.
J-Mac, excuse me. While I roll my eyes as hard as I, I remember telling guys like, oh, you know, Olin, you think coach can get fired? Oh, Olin, do you think this guy's going to be here? Like, worry about your job.
Yeah. You better do your job.
Oh, great story.
Better do your job.
Remember when Dick Geron got fired on the way back from Kansas City? Were you on the plane?
Yeah, I remember.
Remember when I grabbed the megaphone?
Yeah, that's what I was, we talked about earlier.
Who's my coach?
But you don't remember, though. You don't remember the plane. Our plane rides were so epic. I know we're going off topic here, but since you brought it up, our plane ride was epic. So you had R.W. McQuarters, you had Jerry Azuma, Lack, all the guys, right? They're playing a game, a card game on the plane.
Oh, I remember,
remember that? And they're getting loud, and the pot is so big, and all of a sudden, A player, I won't say his name, says, put the money in the fucking pot. Loud on the plane, and we had just lost. So Dick Geron comes walking down. Jerry Angelo starts coming walking down the aisle, right? And he's just looking at people, right? So you could tell there's different levels in terms of people's job status, right? So I was young back then. I think it was my second year. He walks past me. I act like I'm sleeping in my chair because I'm like, I don't want to get cut or anything. I act like I'm asleep. He walks past Olin. Olin still got the microphone, living it up. He walks past Zoom and R-Dub, and they're still slapping, putting the money in the pot. So Jerry somehow gets on the plane on the microphone. He's like, we just lost an effing game, and you guys are over there acting silly, playing dice, doing whatever, and we just lost an effing game. And I think that's when you made that speech, Olin. Who's my coach? And Zoom and Dub, they're still playing, and Lack still playing, and me and AP were sitting there acting like we're asleep. That was the type of guys that we had on our team. Just guys that just, you know, football guys, but love to have fun with each other. But at the same time, we had leadership, though, in an indirect way. At that moment, the leadership, it was funny. It wasn't funny losing Coach Geron, but in terms of what happened next, we had that leadership. I think that was like the foundation of the turning point for us, because Lovey came in the next year. Obviously, his first year, we weren't really that good. We started to understand his process and what he was looking for. And then next year, we went to the playoffs against Carolina and the Super Bowl after that. So,
yeah, it was an interesting plane ride back.
Oh my goodness.
To say the least. And it was one of those things, kind of like what Coach Nagy's going through, where everybody kind of knew.
Yeah.
Somehow the team knew that Coach Geron was going to get fired. Obviously, we were in the last game, not Thanksgiving midseason. The megaphone on the airplane, I'll never forget J-Mac having that megaphone and screaming at Jerry Angelo, who's my coach? Just in reference to, have you fired Dick Geron through the megaphone? How they kept me around after that, I have no
Poor
idea.
Poor Geron, man.
I'll never forget, the funny part was Philip Daniels walked back. Remember old Philip?
Yeah.
He walked back and he said, Olin, Dick Geron said that he's uncomfortable that you keep screaming at Jerry, who's my coach? So I go, oh, okay, Philip. And so Philip turned around to walk back, and I go, sit your ass down, Philip, through the megaphone.
And the funny thing is, on his walk back, he probably get hit with like five sandwiches.
No doubt, yeah.
We were sandwich stores
on the plane. We should roll the orange from all in the back of the plane, see if it would hit the front door. Oh, man, we had good times football is a tough sport.
It was tough, man.
You got to have some fun. That's how you grow a team.
Yeah.
That's how you all start working together.
Yep.
Credit to the leaders for not throwing us out of the building. Some of us just have to grow as leaders and as players. I'm speaking for myself and as people. So somewhat Jerry, credit Jerry for not just throwing me out of the team.
He couldn't, though.
Well, you always can. You can always be replaced.
Quiet is kept with all of that stuff, right? With all of that stuff. Yeah, with all that stuff that you did, I'll just say that.
Which was a lot.
But you were a true leader. And you had the heartbeat of the locker room. You know, yourself, Ruben Brown, Mike Brown, true leaders who went out there. One, you guys just didn't talk it. You walked it. I mean, you're the first one in the building. Every day I would come in and see you guys in the weight room. I was like, damn, I was trying to beat them here. You guys are already done with your lift. You go out there on Sundays. You guys produce week in and week out. And you had the heartbeat in the ear of the locker room. So us as young guys, we looked up to you guys and we say, you know what? I got to get it earlier because Olin, he's done lifted. He's done to watch film already. Mike Brownson did the same thing. You know, Ruben, you guys have already in that O-line meeting room breaking down film. You know, I'm coming in. You're telling me, hey, they like to do this. They like to do that. Like to do that. I mean, you guys were true leaders. And that's something that we talked about when we first started this podcast. Who are the true leaders on that team? But now we're going even further. Who are the leaders in that building?
Right.
And that's still a big question mark, and it has been for a long time.
One thing Lovey did well, and like you said, we're far away from the Ravens and the Lions and this year's Bears, just because we're seeing some cracks in their foundation up there at Halas Hall. And by foundation, I mean the building, the people who run the building, the head coach. These are the leaders, right? These are the people you look to lead you through tough times, which they're on a 5-game losing streak. It's a tough time, right? So one thing Lovey did well was he cultivated leadership. By that, yes. I mean he let you lead. He taught you, okay, Olin, like if you're going to lead, you can't be fighting guys in practice every day. Mistakes I made early on, right? Mm-hmm. Olin, if you're going to be a leader, I can't have you screaming these kind of crazy things at people. Like you've heard me scream at people. So
yeah, time
what I'm
two.
Saying is it takes...
Once or twice.
But it takes... it takes someone... Helping everybody has to help grow, become a leader, get to the point of where you know how to lead people. And I'm not saying I know a lot of people say you're a leader. Our whole locker room had a ton of leaders there, but Lovey, he helped us all. He gave the team to us. He helped us lead. Lovey, no matter what people think about him, was a good leader for us. He led us well through tough times, showed us how to be consistent, showed us how to work. Doesn't mean, you know, every year was a success. I just thought he was good at that. He was good at helping guys lead. And it's something like you said, who are the leaders in the locker room? To the bigger point, who are the leaders helping them become leaders? Who are the people showing them how to lead people from different backgrounds, different races, maybe a different point of view on life than you have? Yep. Can we all come together and chase this goal? And like you said, we're way off, or maybe we are. Maybe we're right on topic of what the Bears need to work on in their building. And I will keep talking about that they all need to work on it.
Definitely. Right?
From the top to the bottom. And I think that it's time to just stop talking about the coaching staff. It's time to start talking about everybody's in that building. And they all need to answer for the lack of success on this long run that they've been on.
Yeah, definitely. And when you look at it like this, right, you look at a source. You know, back when we played, like you said, Lovey being a great head coach to where he allowed individuals to be themselves, which enabled them to cultivate leadership in their own way. There would have been no mentions of the locker room's loss and anything like that, because we were such a tight knit locker room. We would have never let things like that get out, or we would never let outside influences have an influence on how we were going to play. You know, we nipped that in the bud right away. They know, like the media knew with us that there was nothing they can do or drum up that was going to separate us as a team. We were always going to, like, we used to kick them out of the locker room. We used to kick them out at a certain time out of the locker room because it was our time. It was our time, one, to unwind, but then to refocus, to get ready to go back to practice after we had lunch. And, you know, it was a situation where, like, there would have never been a source back when we played that would come out and that source would just be not addressed. You know, if there was a source that came out back when we played, it would have been addressed at that first press conference, whether it was, you know, whoever was up at the podium, whether it was yourself, Urlacher, Briggs, Lovey, or anybody. That source would have been nipped in the bud right away. That thing would have never just lingered on and had any effect on how we were going to play that Thursday or that Sunday. You know, things like that. I mean, like you said, we still haven't heard anything. We still haven't heard anything. They still haven't come out and discredited the source or made some type of announcement, and they're playing tomorrow.
Yeah, and the team shouldn't have to figure that out, right?
Yeah.
And like we talked about, I mean, we can go on this topic forever. And honestly, if the fans want to hear us talk about it, they want to hear us talk about this topic, just tweet at us or let us know.
Tweet us.
And we'll cover it. We'll cover it more, what we think about. Let us know what you want to hear from us about the structure of the organization, how we would structure the organization, and things they need to change to take a look at. But I just think, like, for the young guys in a locker room, I always hear people say that, who is the leaders in this locker room? And my first thought always is J-Mac. Who are the guys helping them become leaders? Mm-hmm. Who are the guys helping these guys, showing the team, like Lovey, like, you know, J-Mac, if Lovey wanted me to stop, he said something, it was done.
Yeah,
so definitely. He could call me on it anytime. Definitely. Right? Anytime he could say, Olin, that's enough.
Yep.
But he let me do and also my way, like, yep, we were two different guys, or even Urlacher or you, J-Mac, or Thomas Jones, or Ruben Brown, Peanut Tillman, Lance Briggs, Alex Brown, all these guys were leaders, and Lovey let them lead their style. We had so many different, Mohsin Mohammed, I mean, what a leader that guy. We heard Bernard Barron talking about what he meant to him, to Desmond Clark, right? Your so best friend, guys. Fred Miller.
There you go.
Hey, Jay, there you go.
No comment.
I don't see.
No comment.
That was Fred all the time. Hey, Fred, man. So-and-so is good. I don't see it.
No comment.
Just a lot of good dudes in one locker room, and just I start to wonder that when this stuff starts to fall apart, what you have to realize is, like any other business, when this starts to fall apart, it fell apart a while ago.
Yeah.
Right. It fell apart in April, in May. I'll transition this way, J-Mac. We got the landscaping going on outside the gym here. So if you hear any blower, sorry, guys. But I'll transition this way. Mm-hmm. When I watched the Bears against the Ravens, and I don't know what you want to talk about. You just take me where you want to take me, because we went so off tangent. Mm-hmm. We only got about 10 or 15 more minutes.
Yeah.
When I watched them, they made that first drive. They were on the 21-yard line. When I saw that three plays in the red zone, I was furious, J-Mac. You want to know why? Because what did you do during the bye week? Did you self-scout? Did you actually? Because the first drive looked like they did, right?
Yeah.
With the first drive, they were booting. They were running the ball.
Right.
They were doing a lot of things that you wanted them to do. Then they got to the red zone.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? And then they ran a drop back pass.
Yep.
And they ran a draw.
Yep.
Right? And then they ran a toss
crack. Yeah, they ran your play. Toss crack on third and five.
Third and five. And they ended up in third and 11, and we missed the field
goal. And we missed the field goal.
Those are not the three plays. Your problem. Right? We've talked about this many a times with the Bears. Their problem is scoring points. Okay. The last 47 games, J-Mac, from week 14 of the 2018 season, including the playoff game, till right now, there's been 47 games. Mm. They're averaging under 20 points a game. There's a lot of problems with the Chicago Bears team right now, but that is a big problem to have, man. So, anyway, just wondering what you thought, first of all, of the Ravens game, and then second of all, of the coach's plan after the bye week.
Well, you look at, in terms of, let's just go with the plan and the coaching and the scheme, first of all. So, the Ravens, Lamar Jackson's out. Didn't know if he was going to play. Obviously, he had an illness, game time decision, right? So, you put the ball in Tyler Huntley's hands. He doesn't, I mean, granted, you know, I don't know how many snaps he was taking all week in practice, but, you know, now all of a sudden he's playing, right? Guy making his first start, right? Move the ball up and down the field on our defense, right? But what did the Ravens do? Schematically, offensively, what did they do, right? They simplified the game for him, right? What did they do? They established a run game. Whether or not they were getting positive yards, they had the attempts. You need the attempts. It opens up everything else, right? So what did Huntley do, right? They got Mark Andrews involved. They're tight end, little short intermediate routes. They didn't have him forcing the ball down the field. They played to his strengths. He scrambled. They got him out of the pocket when necessary. Let him use his legs, his athleticism. But they devised a game plan, right, to where he would have some success. They set him up for success and not failure, right? They didn't execute all the way down and get to the red zone and fall apart. No, they had sustained execution. And that's something that we haven't seen offensively with the Bears for a long time. We make splash plays. We make mistakes that kill ourselves. Pre-snap penalties, all that stuff. We can go on and on. on and on, protection breakdowns, the interceptions. The one thing that we see that Coach Harbaugh is different from what we're seeing on our, from our organization is Coach Harbaugh is going to have his team ready. Mm-hmm. And I know they played a bad game in Miami. I'll tell you what happened there on our last podcast. But Coach Harbaugh, if you don't know, you listen to our last podcast, I'll tell you the theory what happened in Miami. But Coach Harbaugh, and that opportunity to be there at the end of my career and have him at the beginning of my career in Philly, he is so detail-oriented, Brother O. He has his team so ready. I remember Coach Harbaugh in our team meetings, he would have an evaluation on the refs. Mm-hmm. On the reps that were calling the game, the percentages this ref threw pass interference, the percentages of how often they called holding. So that way we knew, hey, this crew likes to call holding a lot. We got to play with better technique. We got to be more fundamentally sound. He broke down everything. There was no stone left unturned. You know, so wasn't a lot of mistakes going to be made. You had to go out there and execute the game plan that was, quote unquote, bulletproof. And if there was something that went wrong, he had the ability, right, to make adjustments at halftime or to adjust something that we haven't seen, right? We haven't seen adjustments. You know, something goes wrong, there's no plan. Headset goes out, there's no backup headset. I mean, you can go on and on, brother. Right. Yeah. You can go on and on. I mean, it's timeout after timeout, wasting timeouts. There's no plan. There's no plan after a bye week. So you mean to tell me you had a whole bye week to break down the Ravens, right? You know Justin Fields has been maturing. He's been getting better every single week, right? You couldn't come up with a game plan where all those guys in the building that you talk about all the time, Brother O, all these offensive minds in the building, collectively, you can come up with a game plan to put our quarterback, who has more starts than the Ravens quarterback, in a position to succeed. Mm-hmm. But you see Tyler Huntley go out there and he succeeds. Why? Because the game plan was set up for him to succeed and not fail.
Yeah, and when you looked at the game, right, I talked about the first drive. I talked about the red zone, how frustrating that was. At first, I thought Patrick Queen saw something and ran to that toss crack, which would have been a problem. But they blitzed into it, which, you know, Don Wink Martindale is going to blitz into things. And to be honest, going into the game, I thought the Bears had better, soon as Lamar Jackson was ruled out, I thought the Bears had better personnel, but I thought the Ravens, like you mentioned, Harbaugh, Martindale, and Roman, their offensive coordinator, Greg Roman, I thought that they had a huge advantage coaching-wise, right? Definitely. So when you watch that game at the end, obviously no timeouts left, coaching problem, right? Take timeouts on two fourth downs, headset goes out, take a timeout. You don't know if you're going for two. You should know you're going for two.
Right.
You probably don't need a timeout down there. That wasn't good. There was the third drive of the game, J-Max, another drive that bothered me. The Bears ran down the field. Montgomery, I think, had 10 yards, 7 yards. They ran a play-action pass. And then I think they ran for – it was 2nd and 5. And I think they were inside the 40-yard line going in. And all of a sudden, they're an empty. Right? And then there's a sack fumble on Jason Peters. Like, that's just not – it's not smart football there, right? It's a problem you have. You start to, again, we go back to, okay, your bye week. Did you not study the fact that empty protections in critical situations? And look, critical situations happen anytime. And when you're Chicago Bears, you know when is a critical situation? When you're about to score.
Yes.
Because damn it, you need points.
Any kind of way.
Damn it, you need points. Yeah. So you cannot, like if I'm calling the plays there, I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to call this at this time because I just don't want anything to happen like a fumbled snap.
Yeah.
Like I don't want, not a fumbled snap, but a sack fumble.
Right.
Like I'm not going to put us in that situation. So you know what? Let me line up and run our best run right here, right? There wasn't enough of Cole Kmet. Like, you throw it to Cole, you target Cole Kmet twice with Allen Robinson out. That doesn't make sense to me, right? A couple of things I want to, before we move on to the Lions, I don't want to say it was all bad, right? Montgomery averages over 4 yards a carry. Mm-hmm. Justin Fields is obviously hurt now. He wasn't really playing as well as I thought he would coming off that Heinz Field against the Steelers.
He struggled,
but I didn't think they got him into the game. I didn't think they warmed him up enough, right? He's shown that if you warm him up, get into the game, he can sling it. So I thought that was kind of a coaching problem also. Robert Quinn and Roquan Smith.
Oh, man.
I got to talk about Roquan Smith, God. I mean, not only that, but every time he arrived, he was trying to leave his mark, right?
Man.
And Robert Quinn, I thought going into the game, he had a big advantage over Villanueva at left tackle. Didn't like the games they were running with him. I think that's been mentioned a few times on sports radio, but didn't like that. Just thought, leave him one-on-one, man.
Let him eat.
If they're not going to help Villanueva, that's their problem.
Yeah, let him eat.
Right, and then The secondary, hopefully Eddie Jackson's back for this Lions Thanksgiving game because they are struggling communicating without him. Two breakdowns back-to-back weeks at the end of games. Kendall Vildor, I think now Duke Shelley got put on IR, so we'll probably see Marquis Christian here coming up. The defense, J-Mac, what did you think about the breakdowns at the end of the game? Now, I think it was back-to-back. Again, something that you think with the bye week, you're going to try and fix, right? But again, the same problem comes up.
Yeah, we've seen it week in and week out. You know, they play good ball, they do some good things, but in a crucial situation, they give a big play. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's happened week after week, and it's really cost us game. I mean, I was looking at Robert Quinn's his press conference, man. He just looked stressed. Oh, man, he was just like, oh.
I guess it's been good football.
Yeah, I had 3.5 sacks, this and that, and then we give up a busted covers. That can't happen. And the miscommunication, like we said, that's everything. That's players and coaches. One, you know, you got to make sure that your scheme is easy enough so your players understand it. Mm-hmm. But two, you know, these are things that you practice. You practice, you game plan, you film study. There should not be a breakdown in communication at that crucial moment in the game. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You go down there, they have a breakdown in coverage, and you give them something right back. You give it to them. Right. I know it's Thanksgiving, but damn, we don't want to just gift wrap a touchdown for him to put him in position to score, and then Devontae Freeman goes in and goes for the game winning touchdown. So it's just like that, just things that cannot happen, man. And that's a reflection, as sad as it is, you know, the players had the miscommunication there, but that falls back on the coach. That falls back on the coach. I'm a head coach, so we have a break than anything. It's on me. Mm-hmm. It's on me. You know, you take ownership on it. I didn't have my guys in position. The communication was bad. I've got to fix that. But those are things that can happen in a crucial time of the game in which you're winning. You come back, you score, you take the lead, and boom, you give it right back. You know, it's unfortunate. We've seen it 2 weeks straight.
Yeah, and Tayshaun Gibson comes up with a really nice interception there. I don't think how he came over that ball, I don't know. But the reason why I bring that up is DeAndre Houston Carson is back there, right? Duke Shelley gets hurt. Mm-hmm. I always thought the offensive line, I mean, the secondary was a lot like the offensive line. Like, you can be better than the sum of your parts. By that, I mean, communication is critical. Working together is critical, especially if they go into a bunch formation, which the Ravens love to do in those situations. On that drive, right, Vildor panics, gets a pass interference with safety help. So that's on him. Yeah. That's on you. You should know you have safety help there. You don't have to panic. Mm-hmm. Then before Duvernay already showed you that out of those bunch formations that you have a problem because he caught a nice pass down before the big play to Sammy Watkins, right? Where Sammy came, but two guys are covering a 5 or 6 yard underneath route for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. But like you said, it's just for me, it's so hard to run all over the defense. I don't like that breakdown in the end twice, but the score was 16-13.
Yeah, you got to score some points.
Gosh, you got 20. Like, there's two stats that I keep coming back to, right? 2018, 47 games. I've said this many a times. The Bears struggle scoring points. That is their biggest problem. I don't care if it's the run game. I don't care what you do. Mm-hmm. You can't put the ball in the end zone. Me and you have said many a times, J-Mac, it is players, not plays when you get down there. Hey. So, look, it's not – I'm not going to throw toss crack to David Montgomery, right? You know what I have to ask you about before we move on to the Lions game? Oh, and then one more stat. Sorry, I'm all over the place today. Takeaways, okay? Takeaways. Since 2018, they had 36, right? Mm-hmm. Since then, J-Mac, 40 games, 47 total, right? 2019 and 2020 combined, they had 37. Okay, so 47, 37, 36 alone in 2018. You can't score. You can't get takeaways and you can't score points. That's why you've been on 6-game losing streaks. That's why you're on a 5-game losing streak, right? Those two things will equal a lot of losses. Anyway, the Bears now, J-Mac, they go, this is what I have to ask you. 4th-and-1. David Montgomery. Mm. I am not running him outside.
Yeah. Why?
So this is what I tell people. David Montgomery, even when you hand him an outside zone, if you watch the film closely, he doesn't run outside zone.
He's going inside.
He's going inside. Yeah. So if I'm the coach, because Montgomery mostly is good, he can break one or two tackles, right? So if I can just get a double team at the point of attack and get him to the line of scrimmage, I'm going to get a yard from this guy. This guy's a monster, J-Mac. The only way I can screw him up is run him outside zone. So as soon as he gets the ball, David Montgomery, what he wants to do is get his shoulder square to the line of scrimmage, yep, and he wants to come downhill at you. Okay. My problem with a lot of this game plan was, again, if I'm a coach and I study David Montgomery during this year, nothing tells me out of Wildcat to run outside zone.
Right. It's almost like when you look at that play, it's almost like you wonder if they let him choose his hole. You know what I'm saying? If they're like, look, we're going to snap you the ball, you get us his first down. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would – Wildcat, okay. You know he's going to run the ball. I know he was a high school quarterback. Obviously, in that situation, you know he's going to run the ball, right? But I would have ran some type of read zone just to give the defense somebody else to think about. And I know at that point Andy Dalton was in, but who gives a damn? You know, if Andy can
– Mooney. We got to mention Mooney.
Yeah, I mean, if
– like Mooney had a good game.
Yeah, Mooney had a great game too. But I think, you know, in that situation, I didn't like the play call. Mm-hmm. At all, you know, give them run a zone read or something. Give them something else to look at. You know, yeah. give them a second. Give the defense a second to just pause for a minute, which will enable you your offensive lineman to be able to get on their blocks, which could open up that hole for that first down. So I wasn't a fan of the call. I know a lot of people wasn't a fan of the call, but like you said, another moment that we've seen over and over again, crucial down and distance, crucial situation in the game, we don't convert. Yeah. We don't convert again.
It's just some things are frustrating, man. And like you said, like, but the problem is if you do let him pick his hole and you call outside zone, like, you know, the linemen have to match his shoulders.
Yes.
So if the linemen are running outside zone and David Montgomery's running inside zone, guys are coming free at him.
Yeah, them linebackers are going to stay.
Right.
They ain't gonna move.
I'm almost running wedge with David Montgomery, yeah, Jay Mack, in that, yeah, situation. I'm getting everybody get crowd the ball. Yeah. Toe to toe, because even if someone kind of, there's some color there, he'll run through that.
You're going to run through it.
I just don't need someone coming free.
Right.
Right. So I let guys come off. I go big. I let guys come off the edge. I don't run outside zone and then he cuts it back and gets someone free in his lane, because the linemen think he's running to the nine hole, mm-hmm, and he's running in the two hole.
Right.
Like, there's a problem, right?
It's a huge problem.
That doesn't match up.
It's a huge problem.
It's a problem for everybody.
And when you look at this game, too, you know, we talk about points. I mean, realistically, the Bears scored one touchdown, because you look at it, the busted coverage was a gift. Mm-hmm. It was a gift, yeah, a good one.
Yeah. Well, that was Mooney just broke 60 yards.
Yeah, yeah, Mooney broke, and he got two good blocks by Jesse James and Cole Kmet.
Nice, it RPO.
Was a wide, yeah, a screen that we finally see a screen. Mooney, he gets two good blocks, and that was a score. You know, that, yeah, was a well-executed play.
Broke some tackles. Alex Brown would say 88 out the gate.
Out the gate. Everybody did their job, and what happened? Put points on the board. The other one was a gift. We got lucky. You know, busted coverage, they gave us one. But like you said, teams aren't going to give you anything, especially the good teams. And like you said, we have not been able to score points, and that's been our Achilles heel. The defense doesn't even have time to come off the sideline, get a cup of Gatorade, and they're back on the field. Yes, they've had some breakdowns, but they can't get their win, right, because we cannot sustain a drive and put points on the board.
All right, J-Mac, real quick, man. Lions, Bears tomorrow.
Oh, boy.
Thanksgiving. We're going to try to get this podcast out today, Wednesday. We're recording this around Wednesday right now. Mm-hmm. The Lions are winless. They're looking for their first win. I'm sure they believe they can beat the Chicago Bears. I haven't seen yet if Eddie Jackson's up. I think Akeem Hicks might still be out. Mm-hmm. Khalil Mack is out. Allen Robinson, hopefully. I don't know what they're saying about him this week with all this news about Coach Nagy's job and all this kind of stuff. I know Andy Dalton is starting. It's just going to be Dan Campbell took play calling away from Anthony Lynn. He wants to run the ball. Mm-hmm. Does golf play a quarterback for them? They don't have a great wide receiving core. It's DeAndre Swift right there, running back, right?
Yeah. And TJ Hockenson.
Yeah, David Montgomery. I think the Bears had 188 yards rushing the last time they played the Lions. So it's going to be who can run the ball, who can control that clock, and maybe, just maybe, get a takeaway. But their offensive line, I think the key matchup, J-Mac, their offensive line is pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Now, Frank Ragnow, they're probably, in my opinion, maybe the best center in the NFL. He's been out for a while. Mm-hmm. He's on IR. They got Evan Brown playing center there. They're still pretty good, though. Still a pretty good unit. I think there, can Eddie Goldman show up again? Can Roquan Smith show up? I think they're going to try run at Robert Quinn and Bilal Nichols. People have had some success there, and then maybe try to get a shot. They haven't scored a lot of points either. I think they're actually worse at scoring points than the Bears. But how do you see this game playing out? What matchups? For me, that's my matchup. Their offensive line versus our defensive line. How do you see the matchups playing out in this game?
Yeah, I mean, it's all about your keys, right? As a coach, especially defensively, right? We talk about keys. And your key on for the defense is DeAndre Swift. Right. I mean, he's the heartbeat of their offense. You know, he can do everything. You know, he's good in the screen game. They get the ball in his hands, you know, in the passing game. He's a tough runner. I think he had over 100 yards the last 2 weeks against some really good defenses. I mean, he's the key to everything. And in short yardage situations, they bring in Jamal Williams. You know he's going to do – he's more of a thumper. He's going to stick the ball up in there. But like you said, regardless of who's at quarterback, Goff hasn't played well at all. They really have no threat in terms of receivers. St. Brown's a rookie. And, you know, everything runs through DeAndre Swift. You know, if they are going to kill you in the pass game, it's off play action, and they're going to Hockenson. So they're going to play short ball. And what I mean is they're going to just try to get, you know, short increments of yardage, you know, 5 yards, 4 yards, you know, being third and short situations. They're going to try to eat up the clock, you know, ball control offense. So defensively, you know, like you said, Robert Quinn, I think he's going to continue doing what he does, going against the rookie, Penei Sewell. That'll be a good matchup. Roquan's going to show up. Roquan always shows up, so I'm looking forward to seeing that matchup, seeing what Roquan does, him versus DeAndre Swift. And, you know, as bad as it is, I say they don't have no receiving threats. I take that back. I look at our secondary. I look at our secondary. So, like I said, I'll digress on that. I mean, if we can't have a productive game, you know, with our on the back end this game with no real threats in terms of receivers, Lord help us, man. I mean, come on. I don't know what else to say, man.
In a game like this, I wish we could get my pregame partner on at the score, Patrick Manley, and ask him, okay, Khalif Raymond or Jakeem Grant? We need a big play. We got to hold Khalif Raymond from a big play for the Lions, and Jakeem Grant, they traded a 6-round pick, I think, for him from the Texans. Yeah. We need a play out of him. We don't need any fumbles. We don't need any critical mistakes. J-Mac, before we go, I'd like to find them to find a way to get the ball in Khalil Herbert's hands. So they need playmakers, right? Allen Robinson is out. I seen them last week. They use him some on some jet sweep. He's out there blocking. I watched him block. Mm-hmm. He was getting physical out there on the edges. Give him a jet sweep. Give him a jet sweep. Pop something out to him. Let him run a route. You need guys like Khalil Herbert out there. Get the ball in his hands. I don't know if he even had a touch last week, which, again, Cole Kmet only getting 2 targets. Khalil Herbert without a touch. Coming off the bye week.
Yeah.
The 3 plays in the red zone. Running empty. Some of these things, J-Mac, man. They're unacceptable, honestly. Yeah. I mean, I hate to say that when someone's job's on the line, but they got to get this stuff fixed, man. Yeah. So, Lions this week.
Red Rifle
and his group. Circle the wagons, man. We need a win. We need a win. I like to enjoy my Thanksgiving. Man,
Andy Dalton.
Chicago Bears. And the Red Rifle.
We trust. And Andy, we trust.
You know, he's a good luxury to have. He's good luxury. Good, you know, definitely about as good as a backup quarterback as you can get in the NFL. Good luxury to have. I think Foles will be the backup quarterback this week. So the Bears are in a good situation there with those two quarterbacks. Like to see a young guy in there. I don't really know what the deal is having both of those guys there. But that is just goes back to everything we've been talking about. J-Mac, this is fun, man. I appreciate it. Hey, guys, it's Olin Cruz, and I want to tell you about Tequila Embajador, the official tequila of the No Name Podcast. Whether it's celebrating a big win or just kicking back after work, adding Tequila Embajador takes every gathering to the next level. The care, quality, and patience put into each and every bottle of Tequila Embajador can be tasted from the first sip to the last. And it's why we're honored to call them our teammates. Go to their website, embajadortequila.com, and use the code KICKOFF10 and receive your discount on your next purchase of Tequila Embajador, the official tequila of the No Name Podcast.
Well, that does it for our show today on the No Name Football Podcast. We thank all of our listeners for listening and supporting us on all the social media platforms. Make sure you download our podcast. We're on all the platforms, Spotify, iTunes, whatever your choice is, make sure you download it. Make sure you tell your friends and family. Give us a rating if you like. Hopefully it's a 5-star rating, but if not, give us a rating anyway. We liked your feedback and criticism, that things we can improve on upon our show. But before we go, as usual... Man, I want to suit up right now. In the words of the great Mike Brown, you guys keep making plays in life, and we'll keep making these great podcasts for you. We're out, and we'll see you next time, Chicago. Take care. God bless.
Mahalo.